God made us the way he made us, did he not?
Yes.
And he gave us food for us to eat, did he not? And he knows the food that we eat will be good for our bodies. If we eat poison, it is poison to our bodies. Most genetically modified food is poison, or being poisoned, and therefore it can't possibly be good for our bodies. Apparently one McDonald's bread loaf and whatever they put lasted a whole year before it went moldy. Oh well, at least we won't go moldy. Acts 7, well, I'm not going there yet, never mind, stop, forget that. Heavenly Father, we give this time to you and pray, Lord, that we will keep by the word. We keep by the word, Lord, and stay by the word. Lord, Heavenly Father, we just want to make sure your word is broadcast and preached in this place, Lord, and may it be so today also. We ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen. Amen. Must never forget the one who is leading. We get these very kind words, but it's only because the Lord is there and he's put to the front. If the Lord is not put to the front, then we will go the way of error. Amen? Always will. People will. People do. I've spoken the last couple of weeks about a path, the path the Lord took. The path the Lord took on our behalf. And the path was what? The cross. Amen? He went by the path of the path of the cross, went by that path, and the path followed through the tomb and out the other side. And so it continued and continues to this day. And this is the path that we are to follow. Amen? This is the path that we are to follow. And then we read in Matthew 17 about the transfiguration. His face glowed like the sun, and his garment shone. And Peter was absolutely amazed at what he could see. But you know something? You're going to be like that one day. You're going to be in glory like that yourself. But why wait for glory? Why not have your face shining like the sun now, walking with the Lord? Amen? Yes. Knowing him, that he is our Savior and the path to follow. That is the transfiguration picture for you and me. Oh, I'm not saying we're going to walk around with luminous clothes or anything like that. But the face, our face should be shining the love, the of the Lord wherever we go and whatever we do. Amen? That is what we should be doing. And I cannot understand Christians who can't do it. I wrote something on a Facebook message the other day. It had these two dogs sharing a bone or a stick or something, both leaning up at each other, just sitting there next to each other. And so I wrote on the Facebook, if dogs can love each other, why can't human beings? Somebody come back and says, yes, good point. And that only comes through loving God, doesn't it? Fully, heartily, so that it just explodes in us. I'm sorry, but it says, shout for joy. Psalm 66:1, shout for joy. And the psalm I read before. We read how he was transfigured, and they stood in awe of him. Isn't that what we need? Many people over the years have tried to cover up the Lord's steps. Remember I said we should be following his steps. We always talk about him walking beside us. No, he is leading. He's leading. We should be walking in those steps. But so many people have tried. You know how you cover up your tracks? When you're walking somewhere, you don't want to be followed, you get a big brushwood and you drag it behind you and squirrel it around so it just looks like everything else. Well, that's what's been happening to the church and the people because we haven't been following his steps. Augustus, right through to modern governments, have been trying to destroy his steps, taking them away, but we cannot see them. We just read, no, we didn't read it. Somebody see it on Shine the other night about what Hitler tried to do. Hitler had his own Lord's Prayer. He had his own Ten Commandments. He made a statement he was going to destroy all of the church. Everyone, he was taking it. He was now the Savior. And that has been going on right throughout history, trying to take away that point. And this is what we've got to be very careful of. He marches on through the talk. The talk, oh, there's no God. Where is your God? Where they'll say, where is your God? In the Psalms. We read articles. I felt like answering one in the paper about a month ago. This man criticizing Christianity. I said, I felt like, well, I wrote it, but I didn't ever put it in. And that was, he's criticizing something he doesn't understand. He just has no idea about. He doesn't know what he doesn't know, as the old sayings I use quite a bit. He has no idea of what he's criticizing. There's been articles, books, everything, you name it, it's been done to try and destroy footsteps of Yeshua. And we've got to make sure they never disappear in our lives, or else. In Romans 5:8, it talks about persecution. Persecution makes us stronger. Amen? It should do. It should be making us stronger. Look at these people that have been in prison in China and Russia and all over the place. Not only did they get persecuted, they made the persecutors, basically, many of them came to the Lord through their witness because they stood firm on the word. I remember reading one case of a young man in Russia. He was killed in the finish for his faith. And then they decided this camp of several thousand people, that these people should be dispersed. No two people of this camp were to go to the same camp. So what did they do? They sent this 2,000 odd people who had heard the word, seen the miracles, seen his faith, out to all over Russia. There's some people haven't got many brains, have they? And so all the people of that camp took the word throughout Russia. In Iran, there is no God. There are these Christians out there. So what we'll do is, because they're sending out all these pamphlets, we'll put it on TV with all the telephone numbers and contacts and everything. If you get one of these, tear it up. One of what? Oh dear. Oh, I've got one. What's it all about? Some people have no idea. But you see, the followers of the way walk in the way of one who's walked before us. Hebrews 2:18. He has walked that path. Through his persecution, if he had just died and stayed in the grave, would we be sitting here today? We wouldn't be. But it was through that persecution and his resurrection we saw the glory of God. Amen? And that's why we get to Acts chapter 7, verses 54 to 60. Acts 7, 54 to 60. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the quick, because this is Stephen talking after his sermon, if you like, to the Pharisees about the resurrection of the Lord. But being full of the Holy Spirit, he gazed intently into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Yeshua standing at the right hand of God. And he said, behold, I see the heavens opened up, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. But they cried out with a loud voice and covered their ears and rushed at him with one impulse. Then they had driven him out of the city. They began stoning him. And the witnesses laid their robes at the feet of the young man named Saul. They went on stoning Stephen as he called on the Lord and said, "Lord Yeshua, receive my spirit." And falling on his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." Having said this, he fell asleep. He died. Stephen walked a path of salvation. He knew the end, and he could see the end. He saw the glory of God. Penny's had a vision of glory. I've heard his voice. Many of you have heard his voice. Seen his miracles acting in his life. We have no doubt that he is alive and is who he is. Amen? But there's always a but, isn't there? Let's read the next couple of verses. Saul was in hearty agreement with putting him to death. And on that day, a great persecution began against the church in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea, Samaria, except the apostles. Saul was in agreement. He held their clothes. Saul, Pharisee of Pharisees, an Augustus, a martyr, an Oregon, even a Hitler, all wrapped up basically in him. Because what was he trying to do? Destroy the word. This is the man Saul was. He was taking, killing. What happened when he was saved? This man is killing us. Why have you brought him here? All these people down through history have tried to cover up those tracks. Paul was about to start a journey of discovery. The journey of discovery that each and every one of us has to do. If we're really going to find the real, somebody said this morning, how do you know that God loves you? How do you know the real God? How do you know? Because we've gone through a journey of discovery. Amen? And on that discovery, there are many rocks, crevices, pits, waterfalls, whatever you want to call them, in your way. But only through the power of God can we come through and really see him at the other end. Amen? Saul was about to start this journey to take the road to Damascus. The road to Damascus. I spoke about the road of the cross. I've spoken about the road of the resurrection. Today I want to mention about the road to Damascus. Because what's different about this road? It started with total unbelief. Total unbelief. There is, Yeshua is not God. He's a false prophet. He's been killed. He's dead. Nothing can be done now. And Saul was going to make sure that this word did not spread. Is that true? The Bible says so. He was basically like an antichrist. Or it might be too strong a word people might say to use about Paul, but that's basically the spirit he had, isn't it? If you're against Christ, you have an antichrist spirit. Simple as that. Oh, he may not be an antichrist of the one to come. It definitely wasn't, but he still, anybody against Christ has the spirit of Antichrist. Acts 9, 1 to 2. Acts 9, 1 to 2. Now Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked for letters from him to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, both men and women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Why were they being brought to Jerusalem? To kill them. Simple as that. So what was he crying out? I believe what was he crying out about our Lord? Crucify him, crucify him. Because he had no idea of who he was working against. Stephen's crime was what? Yeshua is all you need for salvation. Didn't need a Pharisee. Didn't need a Sadducee. And in later years, he didn't need a pope. Didn't need a cardinal. Didn't even need a priest. Didn't even need a pastor. All you need to do is make one short journey from your feet to your knees, and he will hear that cry. But the problem is, we are still persecuting him. How are we persecuting him? Through our disbelief. Do we have disbelief? Yes, we do. The Bible tells us. Oh, the word can't say that. Oh, it doesn't mean that. Oh, they should have done. No. We accept it or we don't. If we say the word is wrong, then we're persecuting the Lord. Amen? Stephen's crime was simply saying, Yeshua is Lord, Yeshua Adonai, and he was saved. Saul determined to remove all the followers of Yeshua. Saul, emperors, church leaders, Hitler, Stalin, all hated the people of the way. Stalin got rid of something like 7 million people. Do you realize that? After the war, he got rid of about 7 million or more people after the war, Second World War. And who were they? Jews and Christians. He destroyed them. 7 million died. That's why they have a men's day in Russia. They have a men's day. Men, go and live amongst the Russians on men's day. You get spoilt rotten. You get all the food. You get all the goodies. I know, I've experienced it. And why? Because so many men died in the war and afterwards under Stalin. So many men died. All trying to remove the people of the way. And in that, we're persecuting the Lord. John 8:58, Yeshua told them he was God. Before Abraham was, I am. I am. All part of the journey. Acts 9:3-5. As he was traveling, it happened that he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him, and he fell to the ground. And look at the right-hand corner of the bulletin, top right-hand corner of the bulletin, and what does it say? Is that you, Lord? Is that you, Lord? Hang on a minute. Why did he ask a question? Why didn't he say, who are you? So was there some sort of little ticking in his mind to say, well, maybe there might be something to this. But maybe he thought it was God himself. Well, it was. And he says, I am Yeshua, Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Every moment of disbelief in our lives, we are in a way persecuting the Lord again. Is it a hard road to follow? Yes, I think it is. Very hard. But we've got to attempt to do it. Amen? Verse 19. He's now on this road to discovery. The word is truth. 2:10 to Timothy. What have I got on here? I've written down time. That must have been the time I was writing it. 2 Timothy 3:16. One day I'm going to give a talk on 3:16 through the Bible. It's amazing, 3:16 that occurs through the Bible in the different chapters. Acts 9:18, what fell from his eyes? The scales fell from his eyes. After how many days? 3 days. Significant. 3 days. And in that 3 days, he was born again. He was born again. He came to realize. 3 days, he's now blinded. You've gone from full sight to blindness in one moment. Boom. What are you going to do? You're going to sit around feeling sorry for yourself, aren't you? But he had the Lord speaking to him, I'm sure. And in that 3 days, he came to realize who he had been persecuting. Do we have to have the scales removed from our eyes? Yes, we do. It says in the scripture, I didn't get it out, but Moses is preached in the synagogue every Shabbat, and the veil still covers their eyes, covers them. It also goes on in another chapter about the veil that covers us. We often criticize the Jewish people because of the veil that they still have over them. But what about the veil over the Gentiles? What about the veil we have over us, blocking us from the truth? In 2 Corinthians 2, 12-16, it talks about the fragrance of Messiah among those being saved. The fragrance, the beauty. The beauty. Paul was now on the next part of his journey of discovery. He wanted to discover who the Christians were so he could destroy them. Now he's discovering, trying to discover who he is in the Lord and discover who the Lord is. When you're in a disbelieving state before you came to know the Lord, did you give him much thought? Probably not. You just continued on with your daily being. But when you come to know the Lord, surely that is the first step of the road to discovery. To discover what you don't know. And take it further and further and further and further. Step by step, ladder by ladder, by ladder by ladder, step by step, landing by landing by landing, until one day you'll be standing in glory, shining like the sun. Well, what a day that'll be. That'll be a day. Don't start asking for it to come suddenly. There was a pastor in Huntley who said, he said at the pulpit every day, every Sunday and other times, I just can't wait to be with the Lord. And one day he was talking and he stopped for a few seconds and then carried on speaking again. Obviously the Lord had spoken to him at that point, because I think the following Tuesday he had a shower, came out, sat in the lounge chair, picked up a book and went to be with the Lord. So be careful what you ask for. Careful what you ask for. In those 3 days, Saul came through a revelation. He went from ignorance to revelation, from hatred to love, from lost to truth in those 3 days. He did this road of discovery. Luke 24, 49, weakness is turned to strength only with the power from on higher. Amen? We cannot be strong in the Lord unless we have that power. Oh, I can read the words. I can sing the songs. I can go to church every week. It's like saying my son could hammer in nails, made him a carpenter. No, he had to go to the tech and years of training afterwards to make him a carpenter. Amen? Just reading the book doesn't make us a Christian. We've got to be born again to have this discovery that Saul had. That's what we've got to do. They thought they had all the answers. Some people go through the whole life in the church thinking they have all the answers, but they've never taken that road of discovery. Excuse me. So many people think that's it. When they get down on their knees, look up to the heavens and say, Lord, I'm yours. When we kneel in the church, that's one thing I must admit I miss, is those seats where they have that kneel, where you can kneel before the Lord. I do miss that we had in the church. Mind you, the first time I ever saw cushions and that for kneeling, or a bar or something for kneeling on, I said to the pastor, I was probably about 9 years old, I said, oh, somewhere to put your feet. He says, we kneel in this church. Okay, I got the message. But Kenneth Watts always used to kneel when he was doing his commands. And I think we've lost that reverence in a way, because we're frightened to take that road of discovery, the road that takes us to more and more and more knowledge. I don't mean knowledge way over here or knowledge way over there. I mean knowledge following this. Amen? Following the word. So many things have changed in the church over the last 2,000 years. Even the 35 years or so that we've been walking with the Lord, 33 years or something, that we've been walking with the Lord. The number of teachings and movements and I've seen come and go in the church is absolutely amazing. When all we need is the word to find our discovery. We need to be discovered by God, and we need to discover God. We need to let him know that he is Lord, God, Savior, salvation, all those things in one. And we're not going to do it unless we take that road of discovery, the road that Paul took, the road to Damascus. Amen? Yeshua started that track. He took us on, started us on the path. He touched Paul. Let him touch you. Let him touch me. Let us have that Damascus experience. Even if we've got to sit for 3 days by ourselves somewhere with the Bible, asking, Lord, what do you want? Do I know you enough? Am I serving you enough? Lord, I know the words, but do I know you? Do I know your heart? Do I know what you can actually do for me in my life? What you will do when I stand in glory, seeing your face shining like the sun. And guess what? You're going to be that rough diamond, cut and polished, and you'll reflect his light like never before. And your face will shine also. But let's not wait till then. Let's start now, discovering more and more of him. Amen? Amen. Oh Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for the picture of the road to Damascus. That road, I believe, is not just a road for Paul. It's a road for all of us. It's not there for just for the sake of being there, to say the beginning. It is there to show us how to get to the end. So Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your love that is just explodes out of this book. When I wrote it, when I open it, I see the love of you, Lord. I see your love for us. I see your need for us to come to be saved. I see it so clearly. So Lord, Heavenly Father, help us. Help us, O Lord, to follow. Follow, to follow. This I pray in Yeshua's name. Amen.